Morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians. We want to look at Galatians chapter 5. Starting from 16, we'll go all the way to 25. And as Sunny mentioned, next Sunday we're going to be starting at 4. So if you do come at our regular time, then praise God. You can just pray and intercede until we start at 4. And then we'll have dinner together, so please join us for that. Also, next Sunday is going to be, my last Sunday till I go on missions, which means, next Sunday, and then I'm going to be missing a couple of the Sundays after that because we'll be in Japan, we'll be out in Asia. And so please pray for our leadership team, Rithik, Sunny, Ethan, Johan, as hopefully they'll be able to lead. And so we'll try to do like a hybrid. I'll try to record some videos. And then we'll try to make those times a little bit more interactive. And so please keep that in mind. And then in light of the Lent season that's about to start up. So, usually Lent is pretty much 40 days before Easter. And in certain church traditions, Lent is a season where we give up certain things. And if you want to participate in Lent by thinking about, hey, I want to give up, I don't know, traditionally people have like given up coffee, continue to give up social media, like whatever it is, that's great. But for us, Lent season for this year is really going to be a season where we're going to be challenged to look outwardly and to really think about the people around us who don't necessarily have a relationship with Christ yet. And so how we can continue to build that relationship, how we can continue to love them, how we can continue to serve them, and how we can continue to speak the gospel into their lives. And that's why in light of the Lent season that's coming up, we're starting a new sermon series, not next week, but the following week, on the Gospel of John. And we're going to go through it all the way through Easter. Because when you think about the Gospel of John, it's interesting. Different Gospels have different focus. And Gospel of John is really the focus on discovering Jesus, who is the Son of God. And so it really wrestles with this question of who is Jesus. And so we want to do that because not only for us, but for those of us, even as you are building that relationship with friends, coworkers, and so forth, invite them out to church. Because all throughout Lent, we're going to be talking about who is Jesus through the Gospel of John. And so that's how Lent is going to be. And then, of course, Easter is going to be where we talk about Jesus' death and resurrection. And then we'll end the series on John the following Sunday. And when we talk about Peter's restoration. And so really, I want to encourage us to think about Lent, not just in terms of 40 days, but really thinking about looking outwardly. And for us specifically, who is that one person that you might want to think about and really investing your time and energy and effort into loving that person? And even praying, God, open up opportunities as I share my life, as I share my testimony and even the gospel with them, that you're going to open up their heart so that when I invite them to either Easter Sunday or any other Sundays, that they'll be able to come and hopefully that they'll be able to hear about the reality of who Jesus is. So please keep that in mind, okay? All right, and then before we go into the time and the word, just really want to thank everyone who made our time here possible, our worship team, everyone who served so faithfully, our leadership team who organized everything and came up with the timeline and all that stuff. All of our ministry teams who served so faithfully. Our publications team used their creativity to put all the name tags and all that stuff, all the visual stuff together. AV team for serving so faithfully. And so everyone who's been involved, I really want to thank you for serving and blessing us. And for those of us who are here, that we've been a blessing to one another. So I really want to thank you for that, okay? All right, so if you remember, we started our time together with this question of, will you let God shape your life, right? Will you let God shape your life? And hopefully as we've been going through some of these themes, even what God has been challenging, encouraging, and speaking to us about during the One Desire Fast, hopefully those things are becoming more concrete in our hearts and in our lives. And so that first night, if you remember, we talked about how Nehemiah, that God began to shape his life as Nehemiah was willing to submit himself under God's character, under God's burdens, and ultimately under God's leading. And then yesterday morning, we talked about how the Holy Spirit of God comes into our lives. And it's not necessarily about these gifts, but Holy Spirit himself is the gift. And he begins to work and empowers us, that he equips us. And it's through that equipping that God begins to shape our lives. And last night we talked about how Paul's exhortation to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and how as the Holy Spirit fills us and as he empowers us in our ministry and in our worship, he begins to shape our lives. And so this morning, we want to be challenged by Paul's exhortation yet again, where he says to walk by the Spirit, where he says to walk by the Spirit. There's a quote from Dr. Tony Evans, and he says this: far too many Christians find themselves on a spiritual treadmill. They're working up a sweat with religious activities, but remain in the same place. And I'm just wondering if this describes some of our lives, right? Like, we're working up a sweat because we're involved with all these religious activities, but it doesn't really seem like our lives are going anywhere. And I think this is what happens when we try to live our lives apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that it's not about how godly you appear, right? It's not about the time and energy and effort. But unless you are willing to walk by the Spirit of God, you're just going to work up a sweat, but you're going to remain exactly in the same place. And so Paul encourages us this morning to walk by the Spirit. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and look at Galatians 5, starting from 16. We'll go all the way to 25. This is the word of God for us this morning. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So this exhortation that Paul gives us this morning to walk by the Spirit. So we want to talk about what does it mean to walk by the Spirit. And there's two observations that we want to make. First, Paul tells us that when we think about what it means to walk by the Spirit, it means that we walk by new desires. That we walk by new desires, right? So as the Holy Spirit comes and fills us with himself, he bears in our lives new desires. Paul makes it very clear that walking by the Spirit versus walking by the flesh, the gratifications of the desires of our flesh, that they're very opposite things. Look at verse 16, and I'm going to read this for us in the New Living Translation. He says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." So he says, if you live your life under the influence of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide your life, then you're not going to be tempted to give in to the sinful cravings of your fleshly desires. In fact, he makes it very clear that fleshly desires, that it's contrary, it's the very opposite thing of what the Spirit desires. That what the Spirit wants versus what the flesh wants, it's like oil and water. It's never going to mix. You can put that in the same container, but it's going to separate itself because those are two very different desires. They have two different natures. And he says, ultimately, it's going to lead you in opposite directions, and it's going to produce in you two different results. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants." And then he goes on and he says, "These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so as you are not free to carry out your good intentions." So they're at war. And I think I have a picture of, if we can go to the, there we go. Right? One team is wanting to score, and the opposing team is wanting to distract, right? They're at war. They're opposed to one another. Thank you. So the question is, which desire will you keep feeding in your life? Because Paul makes it very clear that there is a new desire that the Holy Spirit births in you, but at the same time, we still recognize that there are fleshly desires that we are tempted with. And so it's this question of, which desire will you continue to feed? Because whatever desire that you continue to feed, it's that desire that you will continue to walk with. And that's why the basics of Christian faith, basic things like being in the Word and being in the community of faith, that these are so important. And we talk about all the time, now, go to life group and be part of that biblical community of faith. And it's not just about, okay, how do I make the best use of my time? But as you make these decisions, you have to think about to yourself, which craving am I feeding? Am I feeding the cravings of my fleshly desires, or am I feeding the cravings of what the Holy Spirit desires in my life? But here's the awesome part, right? Paul says that you are able to feed in your life the desires of the Holy Spirit because you are led by the Holy Spirit, which means you are no longer under the law. Look at verse 18. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So Paul reminds us that the law, it was never meant to save us. When the law first came to the people of God, they thought, okay, as long as we obey these laws, that we're going to be saved. But Paul says, no, you can never obey the law. In fact, the law was never meant to save you, but actually the law was meant to expose you. It was meant to expose how ultimately that you could never save yourself. And in fact, the law points us to this reality that unless you are saved from yourself, the ultimate destination that we're going to drift off to is death and destruction. I was listening to a sermon recently, and I can't remember the name of the pastor, and he was talking about how Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh, right? And so he prays three times to remove it, but God doesn't, and God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so he thought, God, what is the thorn in my flesh? And as he was praying, God revealed to him, actually, the thorn in your flesh is you. It's your own cravings and your own desires that lead you towards death and destruction. But Paul says, but the Spirit of God, when he's at work in our lives, it brings freedom. So that when you are following the directives of the Holy Spirit, right? That your destination is freedom. Freedom in God. Freedom from the law. Freedom where you no longer have to earn your way. But freedom in the grace and the mercy that God has already spoken into your life. Right? In that moment, when you are faced with that decision, do I go in this direction where I know it's going to help me to feed the desires of the Holy Spirit, or do I go in that direction where I know it's going to feed the desires of my flesh? Paul says in that moment, you have the freedom to pursue the Spirit of God. In fact, the Spirit himself empowers you to pursue it. And so, if that's true, if the Spirit brings freedom into our lives, then why do we still struggle with sin? Because the reality is that every single one of us struggles with sin. Well, it's because sin is very deceptive, right? Sin is very deceptive. So I want to show two videos. And I think I've shown this before. I have an archive of all the videos, but I couldn't find it. But I'm pretty sure I've shown this before, but which means I probably, when we saw it, it was a long time ago. So majority of you probably haven't seen it. Some of you who remember, then we've seen this before, all right? It's a HEB commercial, and I think they've aired this during a Super Bowl. This must have been maybe like 10 years ago, right? And so let's go ahead and watch this HEB commercial together.
HEB, it just feels like home. HEB, the brand Texas calls home.
Right? Like HEB is so good, even if you're marooned on an island, you don't want to escape. But we know that's not true, right? So when you think about being marooned on an island, it's a miserable thing. And we know that's not true because Tom Hanks tells us that that's not true. Now, here's a video clip from his movie, Castaway. It's a little bit older. Hopefully some of you guys have seen it. If you haven't seen it already, that's on you, right? I'm not spoiling anything. It's been out for such a long time, but I want to show this quick clip from Castaway. Now, I'm sure, Dr. Yon, you guys know that he's a dentist, right? I'm sure he wouldn't recommend this. But when you think about the reality of being stuck on an island, it's miserable because you have no one else who can help you. And your only thought is not to stay, but to be rescued. You know what fleshly desires, you know what that's like? It's like that ice cooler. Remember we saw in that first video, that ice cooler that is floating your way. And you know, the reality is that, yeah, it might help you to cope, but at the end of the day, you're still stuck on an island. But you know, here's the tempting thing about sin, right? After a while, it helps us to think, it's not so bad here. Like we have HEB coffee in the morning. We even get Bluebell ice cream. It's not that bad. And so it eventually dulls our senses and lulls us into thinking that instead of someone that needs to come to rescue us, that we just need more stuff from HEB sent here and then we'll be fine. But the Holy Spirit tells us, and the Holy Spirit speaks and says, no, no, hey, you're still stuck on an island. And guess what? I can actually get you off the island so that you don't have to wait for the next shipment of HEB to come your way. But whenever you want, you can actually go to HEB yourself. Right? That's the freedom that the Holy Spirit offers us. And so the question is, even as we think about going back, even as we think about, so how do we continue to live where we are being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, remember, the reality of this island that we live in, that's not to say that everything is bad. But our hearts cry out to say, God, we need to be rescued. And it's only God who can bring about that salvation into our lives. And that's why we're so burdened, not just to keep this news to ourselves, but we want to share this news with people who are stuck on that island. And 2 Corinthians makes it very clear that the eyes of the people are blinded so that they don't see the truth and the reality of their true condition. And so we pray to the Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, remove what blinds their eyes so that they can see the freedom that you can offer them. And that's what we need to continue to pray for ourselves. Holy Spirit, remove those blinders from our eyes. And help us to see the freedom that you speak into our lives. Right? Walking with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that our sinful nature is going to somehow completely disappear. But it does mean that as the Spirit of God is at work in your life, and as others around you encourage you to, hey, let's continue to walk by the Spirit, that the desires of the Spirit of God will grow stronger and the desires of your flesh will grow weaker. Now listen to what Dr. John Piper says. He says this, "This means that walking by the Spirit is not something we do in order to get the Spirit's help. But rather, just as the phrase implies, it is something we do by the enablement of the Spirit." Right? Did you catch what he was saying? It's not that we try really hard to walk by the Spirit so that when we are walking by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will say, wow, look at the effort that they're making, so I'm going to go and help them. But no, it's that we're able to walk by the Spirit because it's the Spirit who fills us. It's that Spirit who enables us. And that's why God says in Ezekiel 36:26-27, he says this, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." Right? God says, I'm going to remove that heart of stone. Heart of stone represents a heart that is so dull to the desires of God. Heart that is so resistant to the move of the Spirit in your life. And God says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And he says, I'm going to enable you to walk in my statutes, to live your life in the ways that will please me, and be careful to obey my rules. Empower you in your obedience. So we're able to walk by the Spirit because it's the Spirit himself who enables us as he births in us new desires. Now, I just feel like for some of us, when we talk about the desires of our flesh versus the desires of the Spirit, for some of us, we're like, but I'm not really like that, right? Like when we think about just even how Paul describes the desires of the flesh. In verse 19, when he says, "The works of the Spirit are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envies, drunkenness, orgies, And we look to our lives and we're thinking, you know what? My life, it's not really like this. So surely God can't be talking about me. Right? Like I've gone to church my whole life. And yeah, I mean, granted, I've made some mistakes here and there. And sometimes maybe I'm a little bit more selfish than I should be. Sometimes maybe I react out of anger rather than kindness. But surely my life isn't like this. But here's the problem. When you begin to wrestle with this question of, surely my life isn't that bad. But the problem is, that's not the question that God is asking. God doesn't ask you, do you think your life is this bad or this bad? The question that God is asking you is your life perfect? Jesus reminds us that even as our Heavenly Father is perfect, so you be perfect. And I don't think there's any single one of us who can answer that, yes, our lives are perfect. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit's help. So that it's not that our lives are becoming better, but our lives are becoming sanctified. So that through that sanctification, that you're reflecting the realities of who God is. Right? That's the issue. It's not, hey, do I go to this party? Do I not? You know, do I talk behind my friend's back? Do I not? But the issue is, are you reflecting the reality of who God is? And can others around you see that testimony in you? So Paul says, walk. Walk by this new nature. And not only do we walk by this new nature, secondly, he says, we walk by serving others. What it means to walk by the Holy Spirit, it means that you walk by serving others. And the reason why I say this is because when you think about what Paul is describing here, of walking by the Holy Spirit, he's talking about how it's the freedom to not be captivated any longer by sin. It's our eyes that are open to this recognition that, hey, even though things might be that great, I'm still stuck on this life, in this island, and I need someone to help. And so as God brings this freedom, this is what Paul says. Galatians 5, 13 through 14, he says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Right? Flesh meaning that you are living for yourself. Living for your selfish ambition, self-driven desires, self-driven goals. But he says, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is summed up, fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so Paul makes it very clear. How do we know whether we are actually walking in this freedom that Jesus has bought for us through his death and resurrection? Well, Paul says, well, are you serving others? Are you loving others? Because if you see that consistency and if you see those fruits in your life, that's the picture of what it means to live in freedom, right? To live in freedom doesn't mean that we're not going to have worries in life. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to struggle, and it doesn't mean that you're not going to experience the lows. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be perfect. Doesn't mean that you're not going to wrestle with some internal stuff, but it means that even in the midst of it, because you recognize God's love for you, how Christ came down to serve you, your life is going to now reflect that reality of Christ. where you're going to be willing and desiring to love and serve others. And the service that Paul is talking about there, it's not easy. It's costly. Well, first of all, it's costly because you have to do that battle within you. To say, I'm going to choose to walk by the Spirit. And when I fail, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to plead with Him. And I'm going to ask Him to continue to fill me so that I'm pursuing this direction. And as you do so, then you're going to strive to love others as you love yourself. So this is the connection that Paul makes, right? In verse 18, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, which means you have freedom. And then in verse 14, he says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor. You cannot walk with the Spirit of God. You cannot walk in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit without serving others, without having a burden for your neighbors, without caring about the struggles that they're going through. And when you think about the whole point of what Paul is saying, this freedom that God speaks into our lives, the whole point isn't necessarily to serve others, right? But this recognition of freedom is that you live in that freedom. And the byproduct of you living in that freedom is you serving others. I think it's so important for us to understand that. Because if you think that, okay, in my freedom, my aim is to serve others, sooner or later, you're going to get tired. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of your compassion. Sooner or later, it's going to come to a point where you're like, I don't know if I'm willing to pay that cost of loving and serving others. But if you can recognize that your goal isn't to serve others, but it's to live in the freedom that God has bought for you, you're going to fight tooth and nail. I think that's the right phrase, right? To strive for that freedom. Like, who doesn't want that freedom? Right? I mean, the country that we live in is supposed to represent freedom, right? We're celebrating 250 years of our country's birth this year. Land of the free. And as you strive for that freedom that is yours in God, God says, when you fix your eyes on living in that freedom, then guess what? The natural reaction to you living in that freedom is going to be you serving others, which means that when it's really hard for you to serve others, then you're living under bondage and slavery to yourself, to the expectations of others, to the desires of this world, right? Some of us think that, okay, you know what? By me not serving others, it frees me to pursue XYZ. But the Word of God says, no, that's not freedom. But that's actually living in slavery to your old nature, to your sin. So he says, live in freedom. And so what pleases God? Paul says what pleases God is what? It's walking by the Spirit. It's walking by the Spirit in this new desire of the Spirit. And as we walk in this new desire of the Spirit, we bear the fruits of the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, we do that by seeking and confessing our need for Him. We do that by daily leaning on Him. We do that by turning to others to say, hey, encourage me in this walk. And guess what? When you begin to walk by the Spirit, the destination that the Spirit leads you to is always serving and loving others. So this is the one thing, if you will, and we're going to close with this. We walk with the Holy Spirit because he enables us to walk in the new desires that he births in us. And as we walk with the Holy Spirit, he leads us to others so that we can love and serve them. And I think this is the opportunity that awaits us when we think about going back to Austin, right? When we think about tomorrow when you go back to class, tomorrow when you go back to work. Heck, even today, when you get off the bus or when you get out of your car and when you think about, okay, what is it that I want to pursue for the rest of the day? He gives you that opportunity and he empowers you to walk in the new desire. And he's going to lead you to others, to serve them, to love them. So will you be committed in opening up your lives to say, Spirit of God, fill me. And as you fill me, Spirit of God, empower me to live by you. Open my eyes and help me to see that it's actually not that great. The things that I'm pursuing and desiring apart from you, they're meaningless. So empower me to walk by the Holy Spirit of God. And lead me to others so that I can love and serve them. Let's pray together. Can you stand with me? Just want to give us a moment to think about this, right? Just with all eyes closed, as we think about going back to our life, you know, whether it's like going to school tomorrow or going to work or just maybe the household chores that are awaiting us or things that we need to take care of. And maybe, I don't know, some of us, just even throughout the One Desire Fast, things that we've been praying about, decisions that we need to make. Right? Seeking the heart of God for us in terms of how he's leading and guiding us. Like, I want you to think about, practically speaking, as you go back, what does living and walking by the Spirit, what is that going to look like for you? What adjustments are you going to need to make in your life so that you're creating space for the Holy Spirit to actually speak to you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to say, hey, I'm going this way. Walk with me. Because you have to do that work. So on one hand, it's the Spirit of God that empowers you, but on the other hand, you have to do that work of choosing to say, I'm going to continue to feed my new nature. I'm going to continue to feed this new identity. I'm going to continue to feed this new hope. I'm going to continue to feed this new joy. I'm going to continue to feed this new peace. I want you to think about, practically speaking, what does that mean for you? I want you to think about who might the Spirit be leading leading you to serve and to love. And letting Him dictate how you're going to see, serve, and how you're going to love them. How will you serve and love brothers and sisters in your life group? How will you serve and love your brothers and sisters in our church? How will you love and serve your neighbors who don't know who Christ is? Will you be submitted? Letting God be the one who will lead you. Letting God be the one who will encourage you and challenge you. Right? Continue to focus on the freedom that is yours in Christ. Freedom from sin. Freedom from your fleshly desires. And let that freedom bear in you fruit of the Spirit that will ultimately cause you to love and serve. It's just going to give us a moment. Think through it, to pray through it. A little bit, I would love for us to pray for one another as we get ready to go. So can we do that, church? Spend a little bit of time just praying and thinking through that for ourselves. Let's do that.